This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, we got the top stories of the day. Well, Shedeur Sanders got his shot, Mike. Dylan Gabriel got a concussion in the game against Baltimore. We'll talk about Baltimore. Oof. That was rough for Lamar Jackson, but they win. He got his NFL debut on Sunday against the Ravens. Coming out in the start of the second half after Gabriel sustained a concussion. He finished 4 of 16, threw for 47 yards, had an interception, and was sacked twice. He had 3 carries for 16 yards as Cleveland lost 23-16. They did lead by 6 points at the half. Shedeur Sanders, I don't know if you have that clip. I do want to play that clip, but I liked what he had to say. He said, I don't think I played good. I don't think I played good at all. I think there's a lot of things we need to look at during the week. Here's what he had to say specifically, though, about the number one quarterback at this stage for the Browns, Dylan Gabriel. Here's Shedeur Sanders.
Well, first let me say this. When Dylan out there playing and all that, I appreciate the fans, I appreciate everybody, but it don't really, I'm a good person overall, so I don't really like him not feeling comfortable, confident, you know, when he get out there. So, you know, it puts everything in a tough spot, you know, and it's not helping the team, you know. So that could be taken as, okay, I'm being a distraction, even though I ain't doing that. You know, I'm not doing that, but I'm thankful for the supporters, thankful for the fans, thankful for everybody out there, you know, that believes. And, when I got out there, I definitely felt them. And, you know, I'm truly thankful for it. And, yeah, I'm just thankful that I'm out here. You know, I'm thankful for the opportunity, thankful for seeing all them 12 jerseys out there. And it was a great feeling.
On the surface, that's a good thing to say, right? That's him saying, as a backup quarterback, I'm coming in and, you know, the crowd's going crazy when I come in. It's very similar. I've said this before. It's very similar to how, you know, Tim Tebow's situation with Kyle Orton, although Orton was not also a rookie. Listen, that by itself is, first thought was, okay, good, man. Like, I like that you're coming out saying, you know, fans, you're not helping Gabriel. You know, when he's getting hurt or he's out there in a game and you're just booing him or cheering for me to come in. I mean, during the first half, fans actually broke out with a "We want Shedeur" chant, and they booed a bunch of errant Gabriel passes. So I do really appreciate that Shedeur comes out and does that. Now, when he's saying, like, I don't want to be a distraction, well, then you shouldn't have done the mime thing a few weeks ago, the boombox thing and things like that. Those do create more of that distraction. But that all being said, I really do appreciate what he had to say. Big Hub texting in on the First Adventist text line. Anytime Shedeur gets in, it causes uproar. Like, why? Well, I know why for us. I mean, he played just down the road, so we're going to kind of track him just like we would track Torrey Horton, why we would track a lot of these former college guys that played in this area. But it causes an uproar, Big Hub, because he's larger than life. I mean, Tim Tebow was the same way. You go back and look Dude, I'm telling you guys, I went to training camp and I watched Kyle Orton throw 20-yard passes crisp. They were perfect and barely anything. Tim Tebow runs out, hands the ball off, and the crowd goes absolutely crazy. It's not different. It's just once in a while, you get these guys that are larger than life and they have this ridiculous fan, like loyal to a fault fan support no matter what. Deion Sanders is a guy like that. Shedeur Sanders is a guy like that. Tim Tebow is a guy like that. There's not a ton. There's not a ton of those dudes. Baker Mayfield starting to earn that kind of thing, but his was certainly up and down in his career. But that's why. Why when he gets in, does it cause an uproar? Because he is larger than life. And he's been like that pretty much once they arrived in Boulder and they got more cameras on them. He's been vocal, good, bad, ugly, whatever, and it's just been part of it. So that's not going to go away. He was one of the most popular quarterbacks in college, probably the most popular quarterback when he was playing for the Colorado Buffaloes. He and Travis Hunter were probably two of the most talked about players in all of college football. That's just the way it's going to go. What do I make of his performance against Baltimore? First game. I don't think that tells the entire story on Shedeur Sanders at all. Good, bad, whatever. I don't think it does. But he did get his shot, and he was down on himself, man. He wasn't thrilled, and he wasn't blaming anybody. I thought that was a nice... What he said about Gabriel was cool, and he's putting it on himself, saying, man, I did not play well. And he had some moments, though, where he could have made a drive to win the game for the Cleveland Browns. And that would have been a huge flip upside down kind of thing in the NFL to beat Baltimore like that.
I was talking with the dude down the hall earlier today about Shedeur Sanders, and I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but I did see the stats, and we were talking about how sucky the Browns are. And
yeah, the Browns are bad.
We both agreed that you put Patrick Mahomes on this team, you don't get a lot more, many more wins. I say four more wins in total for the Browns. They still suck and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, look what Joe Flacco's doing now. He's with Cincinnati, or at least in that short span. He goes to Cincinnati and, you know, he has weapons. The Browns are a dumpster fire. And it doesn't matter. That's, again, why would you even draft two quarterbacks, especially one with such a big name? If you really wanted to give Dylan Gabriel his best shot, you wouldn't have drafted Shedeur Sanders. And if you thought Shedeur Sanders was the future, then you wouldn't have drafted Dylan Gabriel. The Flacco thing's one thing, but the way they handled that, it's just another bad move by the Cleveland Browns organization. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. An independent law firm, according to ESPN, hired by the NBA, has requested records from individuals and teams as part of the league's investigation into the illegal gambling allegations laid out in the federal indictment that resulted in the arrest of Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier and former player and coach Damon Jones. An NBA spokesperson confirmed to ESPN. Here's the spokesperson's quote. The NBA engaged an independent law firm to investigate the allegations into the indictment once it was made public. As is standard in these kind of investigations, a number of different individuals and organizations were asked to preserve documents and records. Everyone has been fully cooperative. Multiple teams have been contacted by the investigators, including the Los Angeles Lakers. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper and see if there were more people that knew, more people involved. This is far from over, folks. Far from over.
Have the Nuggets been...
No.
Okay.
They're too good. They're too good. They're too good of people, to be honest. They're just too good of people. They could probably save the world if they needed to. Too good of people, Mike. Not possible.
You think, okay, Micah.
They got to Joker? No. Didn't get Joker. No, honestly, could be anybody. Could be Nuggets. It could be anybody with the Thunder. I mean, at this stage, I'm not going to sit here and just go back and say, oh, no, it's not. There's no way a Nugget player would be involved. Well, Chauncey Billups used to play for the Nuggets. He had two stints with the Nuggets. So not that his was, at least at this point, directly involved. in fixing NBA games or anything like that. But no, it's a buyer beware if you're still gambling on unders, especially and player performances, because you just don't know. I'd like to live in a world, Mike, where 95, 6, 7, 8% is free and clear. Gun to my head, I don't think in the NBA, if you took every single roster, I'm not even going to say there's at least one guy who screwed around and done something. I would imagine that list is still pretty small. Although every story we get does make it a little more alarming. But it's not just the NBA. You saw Major League Baseball. We're now seeing college basketball. Where now, you know, last week's story with the mafia getting involved with student athletes running sports book as sports books as a part of this operation. It is alarming, but I'm still going to maintain that I don't believe, you know, just pick a random team throughout the state of Colorado. Do I think a CSU student athlete is involved in this? No, because I haven't heard anything. So I'm going to just believe that it's still a very, very small amount of players that just went rogue, and most of these players were guys that were on their way out. They knew they weren't going to have that much longer to play. Chauncey's story is different because it's not directly linked to the NBA, at least at this stage, but was linked to something else, which is just strange because he's a head coach. He was, or kind of is, or will be again. I doubt it. But that's a completely different conversation. So it's frustrating. Abdul Carter was benched for the New York Giants opening series Sunday because the rookie was asleep at the team facility and missed a recent walkthrough, a source told ESPN. He didn't play during the opening defensive series in the Giants' home loss to the Packers. The linebacker took accountability after the game for the incident, which happened during the week, and said he has to accept the consequences for his actions. He responded to a social media post sharing the Athletic's report on the walkthrough, denying that he slept through it. Was not asleep, actually doing recovery. Nonetheless, that's on me. So I don't know. He's saying he wasn't sleeping, but the ESPN headline is Abdul Carter asleep during Giants walkthrough. Yeah, I haven't heard that one before. It's kind of a new one. He's the opposite of Russell Wilson, because when everyone else is asleep, Russell Wilson is doing high knees on the airplane. Abdul Carter is like, when everyone else is doing high knees, I'm asleep. Or maybe I wasn't asleep. I was recovering. I was resting my eyes. Is that what you tell people? I'm just resting my... He was recovering his eyes for a bit. That's what he was doing. Weird.
He needs to have like little sunglasses on or little glasses that make you look like you're awake.
Jets are benching officially quarterback Justin Fields to start Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor just survives. He just, every year, finds himself on a team and in a position where he's going to start.
And then he gets hurt.
Why can't Justin Fields work out? Like, it just doesn't... When he's bad, he's bad. But there's just so many times where I'm like, man, that's not that bad. I don't think he's as bad as... Oh, then he throws that ball or he takes that sack and just doesn't look good. So, there you go. Top stories of the day. Let's talk more Broncos. Broncos get the dub over the Kansas City Chiefs. They are now 9-2. Bo Nix looked absolutely, I'm not going to say it was like a Pro Bowl type of performance, but that was pretty good in a game where they really needed him to be that guy, especially with J.K. Dobbins out. And now with the bye week coming up, maybe help is on the way. Do the Broncos need to look at the free agency market and go pick up another running back? We'll get into that discussion a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
High school football playoffs. Listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
All right, it is Monday, and at Big City Roadhouse, that means they got specials going on. Monday's special is a single Roadhouse burger with a choice of side. You can add an additional patty for just $3. The burgers are great. Had one of those not too long ago. Tuesdays, just be thinking ahead here, is Fat Tuesday Potato Burrito Day. So enjoy specials. They got Monday burgers, Tuesday burrito. Wednesday, they got the Roadhouse Fettuccine. Thursday's all-you-can-eat salad and soup bar. Friday's the hand-breaded potato-crusted cod. Fries, coleslaw, and green chili tartar sauce. Big City Roadhouse. I mean, more and more people are coming up to me telling me about the, hey, I finally made it over to Big City Roadhouse. That place is awesome. They've made some changes there, too. Moved some chairs and tables around. Just a different scene there. And they added two new 86-inch TVs above the bar last week. Perfect for watching your favorite sports teams. And they are now officially a UNC Bears sponsor. So they're very excited about that. Bringing that, you know, putting that local touch, that local emphasis into the community. 25 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's Victory Monday, Mike. And Bo Nix, Chris Jones, I don't know what clips did you find. Did you find the Chris Jones clip where Chris Jones is basically saying that, yeah, Bo knew what we were doing. We have to do a better job of disguising that. But Bo knew, especially on that final throw, to seal the game, which set up Will Lutz's game-winning field goal.
Bo knows.
And Chris Jones knows that, too.
Great field study for them, as they called it out. I heard them call it out. They actually switched the line. If you watch the film, you can see Bo Nix kind of switched the line. So they knew it. We got to do a better job at disguising.
That's one of the things we were wanting to see with Bo, too, right? It was kind of that ability before the snap, that pre-snap. You know, what can he do to kind of fix that? And part of that is so much of your game preparation. So hats off to Sean Payton and this Broncos team. Now I was, Mike, that drive they had to start the game, what was that, like an eight-minute drive? That was a perfect drive. Just absolutely 14 plays, 54 yards for 7 minutes and 24 seconds. Now,
I would throw that back as they were 4 points short of perfection.
Right. And they screwed around a little bit, right? And that's what I didn't like about what they did. When was it? Da-da-da-da-da. It was first and 10 on the Kansas City 12. And what did they do? They do an R.J. Harvey pass. Laterals it to R.J. Harvey. Bo takes off. Why did Harvey throw that football, Mike? We got to talk about Bo. He breaks up that pass. That could have set the entire game upside down to start this off. If that's a pick, maybe even a pick six, that's demoralizing. So can we talk about how Bo jumps up and puts his hand in between the defender and that football? That was a huge play by Bo to knock that down. Now, then you do another pass on second and 10, and it's complete to Ingram. Then Bo Nix is sacked. You kick the field goal. So everything was rolling until Denver tried to get a little cute. And R.J. Harvey throws it into double coverage. Bo goes up, makes the play to knock it down, but you still get a field goal. Then you go with the next possession. You force Kansas City to go 3 and out. And then the punt return, Marvin Mims takes this thing to the, 15-yard line, about? Was that like the 15 or 16-yard line? So you're thinking, oh, yeah, Denver's about to go up 10-0 here. But that drive stalled out, and it was a 3-and field goal. So you're up 6-0. That was what worried me. In my mind, I'm going, oh, no, this is going to be one of those narratives at the end of the game where it's like you can't beat Kansas City with field goals. So you're going to get to that point where you have a perfect drive to start. You settle for a field goal by getting too cute. You have a great punt return by Marvin Mims, who having him back is huge. And then you settle for a field goal. But defensively, they just kept making the stops. You know, you go into the half 6-6, and you're still like, man, we're not playing. And then Kansas City drives down the field. 9 plays, 47 yards. They drive right down the field. And our guy, player, I think for sure, right, the player of the game, Bo Nix is going to be close here. But McMillan gets the interception. I don't know what Mahomes was seeing because he did not see McMillan. And he gets the interception, runs it back, ends up fumbling it, goes out of bounds. But it was an illegal blindside block on Denver. So they get a 10-yard penalty. They start that drive like behind their own 20, right, Mike? No, on the 11-yard line. And they roll right down the field, and they get the touchdown. Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. You get McLaughlin, and the whole team comes together and pushes him in. Denver goes up 13-6. Next is when you get the Kansas City Chiefs answer. Same kind of thing. They drive down just six quick plays. They got to have to force their way in. Tie game 13-13. Denver goes down, gets another field goal. This is when I was worried. Another portion of this game, when Kansas City drives down and they find Patrick Mahomes, finds Travis Kelce for the 21-yard touchdown pass, and Kansas City goes up 19-16, Denver blocks the extra point. That was significant, especially for the following drive. So they get the second drive for Denver after that. Denver goes three and out. Late in the third, it's 19-16, but Denver's defense just kept forcing the punt, kept stopping Kansas City. And then they punt it. Denver drives down. They get the field goal. That was critical because it was third and six at Kansas City's 36. If they weren't down by three, and they were down by four at that point, Mike, do you think they go for it? It's third and six. We're now in the fourth quarter. And you're down by three as opposed to four. Do you think they go for it on third and six?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they get it, maybe they don't. But instead, you can settle for a Will Lutz 54-yard field goal. And they tie the game. Then they hold Kansas City again. And that sack by Jaquan McMillan on Patrick Mahomes late in that game, man.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Got to be one of the top plays, right, so far? That's got to be one of the top plays. McMillan just untouched. Great blitz call there by Vance Joseph. And he's going to block it to make sure, like, he takes Mahomes' vision away first and then dives in and gets the sack. Smart play. He got in there so fast. Mahomes didn't have any. That was a great time to dial up that blitz call.
Didn't touch his head.
Did not touch his head.
No contact to the head. Very important. Voided the personal foul.
Yep.
Boom.
That final possession, though. This final possession. Let's just go through it because this was huge. So you get the ball, first and 10 after the punt, on your own 26-yard line. Bo Nix finds Pat Bryant for a 5-yard gain. Pat's like kind of knocked around on that play. He sits out for a bit. So it's second and 5, but then you get a penalty holding on Palcheski, 10 yards. So it's second and 15. Bo Nix throws an incomplete pass, deep right to Troy Franklin, misses him. Third and 15, just north of the 2-minute warning mark. Third and 15. You don't get that. You're going to punt the ball, and you're going to put that ball back into Patrick Mahomes' hands, and you've got to wonder. If there's magic left, Kansas City's going to take advantage of it. But instead, Bo Nix, with all the poise in the world, finds Cortland Sutton for a 20-yard gain. Huge first down. Then we go to the 2-minute warning. First and 10 on their own 41-yard line. 5-yard run by Harvey. Incomplete pass by Bo. It's third and 5 again. Almost midfield. Similar situation, because if you don't get this, you're probably punting, right? Maybe if it's fourth and inches, which it would have been, but the virtual measurement came in. Bo Nix finds Cortland Sutton again on third down. He's not down. His knee like hits the defender's hand. He never goes down. The ball was well over the first down mark. So the virtual measurement showed that he got the first down. It's huge. And then you have a 2-yard run by R.J. Harvey, first and 10. Then it's second and 8, and that's when you end this thing. 32-yard pass from Bo Nix to Troy Franklin, where I believe that's the play Chris Jones is talking about, where, hey, they read that. Kansas City's defenders looked absolutely confused on that play, and Bo Nix took advantage of it. And they've tried that so many times this year, it seems like, to get that deep ball and to end it. They didn't have to go there. They were on Kansas City's 47, a 2nd and 8. Could have ran the ball, could have went for something short just to try to keep rolling, maybe get close to a first down. But instead, Bo found something and got it deep to Troy Franklin. But then it came down to the field goal. And yeah, Nance had to mention it, that Denver tried, that this was the same thing last year. They missed that 35-yard field goal last year. It was blocked by Kansas City, and it felt like Denver was going to win, but it was blocked. And even Mahomes, at the end of that game last year, said to a bunch of guys, like Broncos guys, like, dude, you got us. You got us. But we blocked the field goal. And instead, you get Denver, that they kneel the ball, they get that ball right into the center of the field, and that kick goes up, darn near perfect. Broncos walk out with the win. Whew, that final drive, man. Piece that thing together, print that thing off, and we will remember that for however far this goes, because you certainly feel like that 9th win for Denver sets them up the rest of the way to go ahead and try to win this AFC West. So my poll question today, nothing flashy, will Denver hang on to this thing and win their first AFC West since 2015? And 77% of the Hooligans are saying yes. Mike, we're going to go to a break here in just a minute. But 77% are saying yes. 23% saying no. So the schedule lines up in a good way for Denver the rest of the way through. At Washington, I don't know if Jaden Daniels comes back and plays in that game. But either way, you feel good about their chances there. And then they're at the Raiders. They could get to 11 wins here in the next 3 weeks. They're off this week. So it's exciting, man. It's really exciting. They might win their division for the first time since 2015. 10 years ago.
I think they win this week.
They have a bye week. They will not win.
I know, exactly. This is a win.
That's not a win. That doesn't count as a win. You don't get a win on your bye week.
Counts as a win to me.
It counts as a win for the health of this team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now you got to think that Patrick Surtain comes back for the Washington game now, right?
Certainly.
And then Alex Singleton, everything he's saying is he'll be back. Now you pair him back there with Dre Greenlaw. That's going to look pretty good. So defensively, you're getting your guys back. J.K. Dobbins is done. That's unfortunate. Should Denver look elsewhere? Should they look into the free agency world? Is somebody out there that's not playing football right now better than the options they have on this team? I say no.
I agree. I think they just need to learn to have better vision.
Yeah, R.J. Harvey did not look good running the ball for the most part. And that's what, you know.
Just got to give him more, like, I just don't think he has as much time with the first team.
He had 11 carries.
That was the big knock. He would have 4 runs in one game.
Right. And you just can't expect him to. And he did get more of a workload. He had 11 carries for 30 yards. Jaleel McLaughlin had 6 carries. Those were the only two true running backs getting run calls there. Bo Nix, I did like one of the play designs to run him and get a first down, kind of like a mini tush push kind of deal, but not gave him the freedom to just run. Just to kind of run inside between his center and his right guard. That looked close, but they gave it to him. So, and I don't really fault Sean Payton's game plan this time around, Mike. Because, you know, if J.K. Dobbins is in and we got the same rush total and he had 11 carries, then I would be pissed today. But there's clearly not a trust there with R.J. Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin running the ball. 17 carries between those two guys. So that's why I really thought if the Broncos are going to win this game, obviously defensively they're going to do what they're going to do. They're probably going to keep them around the 20 points. Can Bo play well enough to help drive this team down and get them into the low 20s? That's what I thought it was going to take. And Bo, 24 of 37, 295 yards, sacked twice. He had a rating of an 89.4. That was one of his, and again, I know he's had these gutsy fourth quarter comebacks, but this is against the Chiefs, man. Like you and I were talking off the air, Mike, 5-5 or 5-4 at the time, I don't care. It's the Chiefs. You just feel like at any point they're going to turn it on, and once they turn it on, it's not going to go off. But for them to lose that game, which is typically a game they don't lose, that's you want a marquee victory. That's a marquee victory. And that Eagles game is looking like a marquee victory now, too. They've only lost 2 games. And it was in that little run there because they lost to the Giants, too.
And with those Eagles games, like, the Eagles got the Giants when the Giants were hot.
Yeah, feeling good about themselves.
Right before the Broncos beat the Giants, and then the Giants got injured.
Right.
So it was a small hot losing a small hot streak for the Giants. So I think those were two legitimate losses, even though they don't look legitimate. I think they were two legitimate losses for the Eagles. You look at this Chiefs team, they're scoring about as many points as the Broncos.
Yeah.
They're giving up about as many points as the Broncos. Their record does not reflect the way they're playing. The problem is they're 0-5 in games that the Broncos are winning.
Yep, 0-5 in one-score games for Kansas City. So Denver's finding ways to pull this. This is what good teams do. Good teams, and it doesn't always look good. They find ways to win, and that's what the Denver Broncos are right now. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the rest of these teams and their schedules. Who has it more difficult coming up? And the Broncos have a real chance here once they get done with the bye. Obviously, let these teams beat the hell out of each other this weekend, like the Colts and the Chiefs, and then we see where it sits by the time they prepare for their Sunday night football game a week from next Sunday against the Commanders, whether that's Jaden Daniels or not. There's a discussion to be had there as to whether or not you play Jaden Daniels, or you just say, hey, we've got, what, 5-6 games remaining. We're not going to make the playoffs. Do we just rest him? I don't know what the answer is. I don't think Dan Quinn's going to punt just yet because they're off this week too. So that will be. I'll be very interested to see. They're going to reevaluate him after this week if he's going to play. That obviously changes a little bit of that outlook on that game. 41 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, Ram fans. This is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Minutes after the hour. Now it's starting to kind of feel like the path to the number one seed, Mike, not just winning the AFC West, but the path to a number one seed is clearing a bit. Now, the hurdle you have to think about here is the big one. The Indianapolis Colts are 8-2. They were off this week. They play Kansas City this weekend. They're at Kansas City. The Colts are 8-2. If they beat Kansas City, then they would be back to number one at 9-2 because they have the tiebreaker over Denver because they beat them. Denver has the tiebreaker over the New England Patriots because it would be based on the best win percentage in conference games. Now, obviously, that changes, too, if the Patriots, because the Patriots are at Cincinnati this weekend. So if they beat Cincinnati, then that tiebreaker that the Broncos have over them right now would be back to even, and it makes that three-way race a little bit more interesting.
And then you go by division.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos are 2-1 in the division.
In the AFC West, yes.
Yeah, but what the tiebreaker after conference, I believe, is division.
Well, New England's 3-0 in the division too, in their division.
Ooh.
It would go. Doesn't it go record? Then it goes conference, and it goes division next, because obviously they didn't play each other, and they won't play each other.
Yeah, I believe so.
So if New England wins this weekend, they will be 6-2 in the conference, and then still 3-0 in their own division. So then it would come down to common opponent. Is that what's next?
I think so.
Is it common opponent? I didn't think division.
Schedule.
I didn't think division came into play, but I could be wrong on that. I thought it was head to head. Then it was conference, and I don't know if division's next. We'll have to look at that. We'll have to look. I don't know why that would matter though, because it's the Patriots division. It's not the Broncos division. You would just look at the conference.
Yeah, but you want to beat your division.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look into
look
this.
It up. Go ahead and look it up. We got to take a break anyway. But here it is: the Patriots they're at Cincinnati this weekend, then home against the Giants. That looks easy for the Patriots, but then they still have the Bills. Then they're at Baltimore. So there's two games there that could trip up the New England Patriots. And again, could any of these two games coming up for them trip them up? We'll see. But that's something to watch out for. The Colts are at Kansas City, home against the Texans, then at Jacksonville, at Seattle, home against the Niners, home against the Jags, and then they're at Houston. So there we go.
I have an answer. Don't know where it's coming from, but the answer is head-to-head record, mm-hmm. best record within the division, best record against common opponents, best record within the conference, strength of victory, and strength of schedule. Broncos would not get the strength of victory.
No. Well, right now, if you go to ESPN standings, the Broncos, it says the Broncos are number one over the Patriots because they win the tiebreaker over New England based on best win percentage in conference games. So, okay, so you're saying division comes in first before conference?
This is according to an AI answer. So,
well, let's go through that.
I'm going to look further.
Let's go through that. 49 minutes after the hour, let's look at some of these schedules coming up and just how much scoreboard watching we're going to be doing this weekend with the Broncos having the bye week. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Apparently you're right. It's division first, which I think is weird. I thought it was conference, but it still says on ESPN.com the Broncos have the tiebreaker over the Patriots because of their conference win percentage, not division win percentage.
Well,
either way, the Patriots have them on both counts.
Well, if you think about it, it's not weird because you get in automatically if you win your division.
But you're competing against teams outside of your division, so I would think it would go to conference first.
I would do division first because you always want to focus on beating your division because division winners automatically get a playoff.
Well, yeah, they'll still get, we'll get into that. We'll talk about it coming up. But the Patriots have them on both accounts right here. So go Bengals. Go Bengals and go Chiefs. Are we rooting for the Chiefs, Mike? This weekend? You know what it means.
I can't bring myself to do it.
You might have to. You might have to, Mike. Do you want a first round buy or not?
I can't bring myself to do it.
Buy or sell. Maybe that's one we're buying or selling. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.